God Fights for You, Commentary for the November 1st, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. Everyone who does any of these detestable things, such persons must be cut off from their people. Keep my requirements, and do not follow any of the detestable customs that were practiced before you came, and do not defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord, your God. Leviticus 18, verses 29 and 30. Our opening verse is following a list of sexual perversions practiced by the Canaanites, cited as reasons why they are to be dispossessed and the Israelites to be installed in their stead. Sexual perversity is as old as Genesis, according to Genesis 6, verses 4 and 5, and reflects the domination of women by men that arose after the fall, in Genesis 3:16. Women have been trafficked to their detriment for thousands of years. Over 17 centuries after Christ's incarnation, it was still common, as depicted in this image by William Hogarth, depicting an older woman procuring a fresh young woman to be trafficked into prostitution. It continues to be common today, with Ghislaine Maxwell procuring similar young girls for Jeffrey Epstein to feed the insatiable appetite of the wealthy to prey upon young, impoverished women to feed their lusts without accountability. It is a satanic trade that has its roots in the rebellion of Satan and his angelic followers against God and the loyal angel host, as recorded in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 17. Cast to the earth in defeat, Satan targeted God's gift to Adam, tempting Eve to fall and to bring Adam along with her in rebellion against God. But it did not end there. Those fallen angels were attracted to the women born to men and began trafficking them for their own pleasure, according to Genesis 6, verses 4 and 5. These fallen angels were not God. God is called Elohim in Genesis, which is a plural term, but without the article preceding it. It is translated as a singular noun, God, but the passage in chapter 6 has the article, the in English, indicating the author was telling us we have something different here. Translated, the entire phrase is literally, sons of the gods. This is further supported by the passage telling us that the offspring of this trafficking were the heroes of old. Pagan mythologies refer to them as demigods, half divine, half human. Hercules is a well-known example. The Genesis account calls them Nephilim. As verse 5 tells us, this trafficking resulted in untold evil on the earth and resulted in the Noahic flood wiping out all but 8 human beings. If we accept the flood account as factual, a question soon arises. Why were there Nephilim around both before and after the flood? As mentioned in Numbers 13, verse 33, if they were not angels, they should have perished in the flood, especially if they were nothing more than the godly line of humanity, as some interpret this passage, which, except for Noah and his family, had ceased to exist even before the flood. The word Nephilim can be translated as fallen ones. Although other translations have been suggested, truth is consistent, and the fallen translation is more consistent with the ongoing biblical narrative. As fallen angels with powers we can hardly guess at, they were never listed among those destroyed by the flood, and the later reference to them implies that as well. Unfortunately, Bible translators have often obscured rather than shed light on the term. For instance, in Ezekiel 37, verse 27, the Hebrew says Nephilim, but several different translators, instead of rendering it simply as the fallen, insert additional text referring to warriors, heroes, men of old, etc. It causes one to wonder, why are these translators avoiding any association with the idea of fallen angels trafficking human women for their pleasure and for abuse and enslavement. An argument might be made that these women were wives for the passage in Genesis 6, so they were not trafficked. But what constitutes a wife in Genesis? Simply having sexual relations seems to have been all that was required. For example, Isaac took Rebekah in his mother's tent, and she was then his wife, in Genesis 24, verse 67. This means even a trafficked or a raped woman could be defined as a wife. The congruity between having sex and it being seen as a marriage between the couple can be seen in Deuteronomy. If a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her, and they are discovered, he shall pay her father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the young woman, for he has violated her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. Deuteronomy 22, verses 28 and 29. Thus, it is possible those fallen angels who sexually took human women could be perversely described as taking wives. Those pagans who worshiped lusty gods who preyed on human women found them to be examples for their own behavior. The famous rape of the Sabine women, when Romans, wanting wives, raided the Sabines and took their women for their own, is only one of many examples. Even in the Bible, in the book of Judges, after the tribe of Benjamin was decimated for its evil sexual assault on a woman, resulting in her death, the other tribes, to keep the Benjamites from dying out, arranged for them to kidnap young women from other tribes. Whether Sabines or Israelites, the wishes of the women were of little importance. Those pagan gods, or fallen angels, if you will, no longer dwell on Olympus or in Valhalla. Instead, they are in royal families, oligarchs, prime ministers, rulers of all sorts who place little value on women except as a commodity to be trafficked among themselves or to those humans who they wish to manipulate. To ensure that such traffic continues uninterrupted, they are willing to pervert courts, law enforcement, and the will of the people, and if necessary, they will redirect every dollar, euro, crypto coin, etc. to that end. The cries of the hungry, the sick, the disabled, the homeless, the unemployed, and the foreigner mean nothing to them so long as they can continue to feed their sexual addiction, treating the women only as a commodity. And they will kill those who stand in the way of such trafficking, especially those able to testify against them in case the courts cannot be bought. This sickness will only grow worse with time until it is as it was in the time of Noah. Jesus pointed out how bad things would become, and they even killed him. But there is one truth they cannot avoid. The fallen angels survived the flood to continue to pursue their evil, but evil will not manage to rise again, according to Nahum 1, verse 9. God's compassion and mercy spared the fallen angels the first time, and they only increased their capacity for evil and their ability to destroy everything. They not only rape women, they rape the environment, the economy, the hope of humanity. They bring darkness instead of light, not accepting what their end will be. They know their time is short, according to Revelation 12, verse 12. Their purpose is to sweep as many as possible into oblivion with them. Though once there, neither they nor those they deceived will have any awareness of the success or failure of that mission. It is all such a waste. All of earth will become a charnel house. There will be no escape on that day. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Amos 5, verses 18 and 19. But those who do not give themselves to the darkness will find salvation. Even those who may have previously done evil, but turn from that dark path to God's light. God, through the prophet Ezekiel, has told us, "And if I say to the wicked person, you will surely die, but they then turn away from their sin and do what is just and right, if they give back what they took in pledge for a loan, return what they have stolen, follow the decrees that give life, and do no evil, that person will surely live. They will not die. none of the sins that person has committed will be remembered against them. They have done what is just and right. They will surely live. Ezekiel 33, verses 14 through 16. This is why the Apostle Peter could stand up at Pentecost and tell the people to repent in Acts 2:38. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die? Ezekiel 33, verse 11. While it can seem that everything is headed into darkness, some are headed into the light. If it were not so, Jesus' return to claim his people would make no sense. That is why evil is working so hard to destroy everything. They do not want Jesus to return, so they are more than happy to make it a non sequitur, to remove any reason for him to return. But God is omniscient, knowing how it all ends up. That is why he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and he is light, not darkness. The fallen reject light, but darkness has no power to overcome light. Even the smallest light can penetrate the deepest darkness. And the battles that the fallen would bring our way? What of those? The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Exodus 14, verse 14. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles and links to books written by the author, available through Amazon. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.